Back with you on The Takeaway, I'm Tanzina Vega. Movie theaters are normally a go-to spot to escape the summer heat. And the summer movie season is when Hollywood does some of its biggest business, releasing blockbuster superhero films and family-friendly content like last year's Lion King remake. But because of health risks during the pandemic, only about a quarter of movie theaters in the United States are currently open. And for the ones that are operating, it's hardly business as usual.
My name is Jonathan McNeil, and I am the manager at the Neon in Dayton, Ohio. We are a twin theater. We have 133 seats in one auditorium and 73 in the other. And right now we have 3 full-time employees and 7 part-time employees. Our capacity is severely reduced, but our need for staffing is greater, so we're paying more to make less at this point.
The Neon had its soft reopening at the end of June and hired more part-time staff members in order to implement some of the public health guidelines, like social distancing. But customers haven't been rushing back just yet.
It has been a slow return for a lot of people. And, you know, Ohio is had been kind of spiking and is spiking right now. But the governor just said that initial numbers are showing promise with the kind of mask mandates that are happening everywhere. So that's encouraging. But, you know, certainly we were going to require masks before it was a mandate. And we have what's called dynamic seating. So our software system actually knows to put 3 seats between you and the next party. And then, of course, every other row is blocked off anyway. So we've got more than 6 feet of distance between you and the next person.
And while the current model of limited seating might not be financially sustainable in the long run, Jonathan says small theaters like his do have one advantage over bigger chains, at least for now.
As far as programming and whatnot for the foreseeable future, it's kind of a mix of some newer indie material and repertory titles. So that's kind of what we know we've got to work with. You know, it's the multiplexes can't sustain 12 and 20 screens of repertory titles, but a theater with only 2 screens is a little easier, in my opinion, to program.
Last week, multiplex theaters were dealt a major blow when Warner Brothers announced they'd be indefinitely delaying the release of director Christopher Nolan's new action film Tenet. That movie had been scheduled to come out in mid-August. And Disney quickly followed suit by pulling the August release of their live-action Mulan remake. And while these delays might not sound surprising in the middle of the pandemic for theater chains like AMC and Regal Cinemas, this was major news. To find out more about where movie theaters go from here, I spoke to Shirley Lee, a staff writer who covers culture for The Atlantic.
Tenet, I think, for most folks in Hollywood, was seen as the holdout. If summer movies were going to happen, if theater going was going to come back, if anything was going to go back to normal, Tenet would have to be released in theaters. But now, like you said, it's been postponed indefinitely, and that is a blow not just to the indoor theater industry, but to Hollywood as a whole. I think for major movie studios, now that Tenet has been delayed indefinitely, there's chatter about tentpole films being delayed all the way until 2021, because over the course of the summer, if you've been following the delays and the changing release dates, studios have kind of been playing this game of chicken, right? Every time Tenet was delayed by 2 weeks, then you saw, you know, Mulan delayed again. So this hopscotching, this game of chicken is now perhaps over, and we have to see what Tenet does next. The latest that we've gotten has just been some chatter from Warner Brothers about, you know, foregoing the traditional global day and date release. So instead of releasing the film at the same time around the world, perhaps they will open where they can, you know, where the coronavirus cases aren't surging.
Let's talk a little bit about some alternatives, right? Because there is the option to do video on demand. Why is that not as attractive as a theater opening?
For films like Tenet, it's simply something that I believe, you know, the director, Christopher Nolan, would rather not do. A film that big, that's, you know, I'm not sure what the exact budget was for it, but it's definitely in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's meant to be seen on the big screen, seen on IMAX. So for it to move to a smaller screen within people's homes, I think artistically speaking, creatively speaking, it's not the greatest option.
But what about financially?
Financially, it also isn't. You know, when you think about indoor theaters, you're selling tickets individually. Tenet is too big of a film to make all of that money back just on digital rental. And I think for smaller films, it's certainly, you know, more doable. I mean, if you look at the beginning of the pandemic, when Universal released Trolls World Tour, they announced that afterward, I believe the revenue came in at over $100 million. But that's a very different film. That's a family-oriented film. It's a sequel. And I think they were willing to take a chance on that. For a film like Tenet, unfortunately, it is the type of film that folks will argue needs to be seen in indoor theaters, considering, you know, the creative involvement. So at this stage, it's just a matter of seeing what they choose to do.
Well, if we're really going for the theater experience in a pandemic, I mean, the closest I think a lot of folks are coming is to drive-in movie theater experiences. We're seeing some pop up here in New York. You've been to a couple drive-in experiences this summer. What was that like?
I will say the first time I went, I was extremely nervous. You know, I think that even though you're in your own car and you are following all these social distancing guidelines, it feels so strange to be doing something other than going on your essential grocery store run and staying at home. It was strange the first time I went. The second time I went, it felt more normal, but it's still risky because the more normalized an experience outside of your home becomes, the more likely you're going to be complacent about, you know, mask wearing and all of that, right? So that was my experience. I feel like it's probably been different for other folks, but also drive-in theaters can't be the end-all be-all. I think there are only about 300 or so theaters around the country. Even for me, it took about 45 minutes to get to the closest one. So it's not the most optimal experience.
So let's talk a little bit about the financial future of movie theaters and, you know, whether or not the theater business. I'm pretty sure Hollywood will rebound to a certain extent, but what about the theaters themselves, particularly smaller independent theaters?
It is looking dire. I can't predict exactly what's going to happen. You know, I've seen people talk about, oh, what if this is the death of theaters? For now, theaters have been fighting an uphill battle since, you know, the beginning of theaters, really, right? They've gone through world wars, they've gone through the Great Depression, they've gone through economic recessions, but this is certainly the biggest challenge that indoor theaters have had to face, and they haven't exactly been inspiring confidence, especially the larger chains. You know, when AMC theaters said they would be reopening and said that it wasn't necessary for people to show up with masks on, I mean, that's not encouraging me to go back to a theater anytime soon. For the smaller theaters that have stayed open, they've been showing, you know, nostalgic favorites. But it is really hard to stay open during this time. Again, I don't know if we can predict now if theaters are going to be gone forever. I would certainly hope not, because the theatrical experience, I think, you know, personally speaking, I think is irreplaceable. But it doesn't look good. I think, you know, looking at other examples around the globe, China is reopening its theaters, but I believe there's a 2-hour time limit that certainly prevents a movie like Tenet from opening there. You have these innovative designs that some studios or some theaters are thinking of implementing, you know, pods, I think I've seen floating around the internet for a Paris theater. I don't know how feasible those will be, how replicable those can be. But right now, it doesn't look good.
Now, what about the actual, I mean, I sort of said Hollywood would bounce back, but that's not necessarily true. I mean, we know that Hollywood is more than the actors that we see on the screen, and it takes a ton of people to create these films. There are lots of jobs that could be at risk here. So I'm wondering, how or whether filming is even happening right now in the middle of this pandemic. We know California is experiencing a second surge of coronavirus. And so I'm wondering what steps are being taken, if any.
Well, there are steps being taken. You know, there have been these white papers, these guidelines released by unions and guilds that have been circulated among the industry. And these are guidelines that talk about, you know, social distancing, about limiting the number of crew members on set, about hiring a coronavirus consultant who can, you know, monitor the health and safety guidelines. And when it comes to productions, they are happening. They're happening abroad. Jurassic World Dominion is filming in the UK, I believe. The sequels to James Cameron's Avatar they're filming in New Zealand. Now, within the U.S., I think productions haven't exactly bounced back just yet. The latest that I've been reading have been about productions potentially starting back up in September. There are a few here and there. In Atlanta, Tyler Perry Studios they've been filming some shows, and they have these extensive guidelines that they've been following that involve, you know, flying cast members out using private planes to Atlanta, quarantining them for, I believe, 2 weeks, and then getting tested before they go on set, getting tested once they're on set again. Look, all of it sounds really complicated. The point is there are fewer productions happening right now than normal, definitely, but there are certainly productions that are happening around the world.
And just in, you know, to put this in the context right now, I'm wondering whether or not the pandemic and the racial justice uprising that we've been seeing across the country, you know, we had talked about Oscars So White a couple of years ago. Has any of this resonated with Hollywood producers and executives in terms of addressing better representation in the industry?
I think so. I think since Oscars So White trended as a hashtag several years ago, I think there have been significant changes. If you're looking at the group of, you know, artists that the Academy invited to join them this year, it's much more diverse than in years past. I believe that studios themselves have also been, you know, setting new policies. And there are super, you know, uber producers and showrunners who have also vowed to hire, you know, more inclusive writers' rooms, cast more diverse casts. I don't think that conversation has stopped, you know, and I would hope that just because there's a pandemic going on, people don't, you know, stop thinking about the other issues at play. The coronavirus pandemic is certainly the biggest issue stopping productions from going forward right now, but there is still work happening behind the scenes. There's, you know, writing is happening, animated series are moving forward, people are auditioning remotely. There's work that can be done. And so I would hope that, like I said, people continue to think about representation and racial issues, even while productions, for the most part, are waiting to resume.
And we shall wait and see what happens to the in-person movie experience. For now, I'm making my popcorn at home. Shirley Lee is a staff writer covering culture for The Atlantic. Shirley, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.